There we go. So yes, my name is Chris. I am from IWW Sheffield. I work as a history teacher in a secondary school. So it's normally 28 screaming kids that I'm talking to. So actually, this is quite refreshing in many ways. The way the presentation is going to work is going to be a short slideshow, and I'm going to talk through basically what motivates us, how we work, why we do what we do, how we organise, how we structure ourselves. Then I'm going to show a video that we produced about our branch, which tells you why people joined, why they chose the IWW specifically, and where we're active. And then I'm going to show you another very, very short video which focuses on a particular dispute that we were involved with at the Greedy Greek restaurant in Sheffield. And then after that point, we'll have, if there's any questions or you want to raise any points, then there should be some time for that. So the focus of this particular presentation is on the idea of solidarity unionism, which I think is what makes us different from every other union, that we use this idea and this concept to structure what we do. this is a picture of IWW Sheffield branch, just to kind of give us a kind of broader introduction. This is a dispute that we were involved with at Pizza Hut. So this is a kind of protest picket that happened outside their store in Crooks. You'll notice that it is very, very cold and snowing at the time. But in spite of that, we had a fairly good turnout. And this will be covered in the video, but as a result of this action, we actually won a small pay rise for delivery drivers at Pizza Hut. So this was one of our kind of success stories as a branch. So the first thing to address, though, is why Wobblies? Why do we choose the IWW? At its core, being a member of the IWW means challenging the balance of power in the workplace and shifting it away from bosses and managers and towards the shop floor. So the IWW is a union that stands for social change, fundamentally. We recognise that the problems in this world are created by a society that's organised for profit over human needs. We also recognise that social change starts small and builds from small actions of cooperation and resistance between workers. So that's where we start. Work is where we spend most of our waking lives. It's also the place where the goods of this world are created and distributed. So we see it as our central goal to shift that balance of power away from the boss, towards workers, and eventually towards a vision of economic democracy, where we're organising the world amongst ourselves. So I think it's worth addressing this issue of what a union is, because there are a lot of misconceptions or distortions of this term. For us, the word union means something very specific. So, and actually something, I think, fundamentally different from how a trade union would see a union. For us, a union is about the relationships that you build with your workmates at its core. So it's about what you can do in your workplace as a result of collective action and those feelings of solidarity. Unions are not a contract, they're not an official, and they're not a set of relationships that exist between the state and an institution. Those things can exist, but they're not the core of what a union is. So the IWW, for example, is a registered and certified union in the UK. We have a legal protected status, but we don't feel that that is what makes us a union. What makes us a union is the relationships that we build with our co-workers. This is the essence of solidarity unionism, and this, I apologise for quite a lengthy quote, but this book is actually being republished through PM Press at the moment. It's called Solidarity Unionism, and it's written by Staunton Lind, who was one of the people who was rethinking our ideas at the turn of the century. So a lot of the core of what he's saying, I would say historically the IWW has stood for, but this is an articulation of kind of the modern ideas of the IWW as we're organising that. So he defines solidarity unionism is the fact that it takes no easy comfort from faith in an assured future, but rather draws strength from the fact that working people learn solidarity from their jobs and even from their defeats. And I think that's an important point to make, that sometimes a loss in which workers actually feel that they have learned more, that they are more confident as a result of it, they have developed skills and maybe built a sense of solidarity in organisation. Even if they lose, the fact that you've actually built the relationships is the important thing. It seeks neither a strategy to capture the leadership of the existing unions, which is the focus of much of the left, nor to destroy them and build upon their ruins. We don't aim to replace the trade union movement as it exists with the IWW, where, like myself, where I work in a school when there are trade unions, I am a dual carder, so I'm a member of the NUT, I'm also a member of the IWW. I use my IWW membership to act and organise in a certain way. So the example that I could use of what's going on now is there is an initiative that we are organising in Sheffield for education workers across sectoral divides, so in nurseries and secondary schools and primary schools. We're all coming together, in spite of our trade union membership, to support each other and try and provide something that the trade unions aren't providing. In this particular case, it's kind of emotional support, issues with stress and overwork. So we're trying to, we don't reject our trade union membership, we do try and provide something more that the trade unions don't give us. And finally, yeah, we, it certainly looks for the way that labour organisations can be structured so they are incubators and not prisons of the impulse towards solidarity, that we actually want to carry things forward and improve things for people. We're not about putting a label on something and stopping there, which is what the TUC often does. So, basic overview of what we offer. If you join the IWW, you will get almost immediately organiser and representative training. That means you'll be trained how to organise your workmates. We're having a taster session of that later on this afternoon. I'd recommend checking that out if you're interested in it. Rep training means you can operate as a legal representative with your colleagues. So if your colleagues get into trouble at work, you can go in and assist them in a meeting, disciplinary meeting. Resources and practical solidarity. Union democracy, all decisions we make are made at the branch level. There's no officers, there's no executive that's overruling those decisions. We're independent, we're not attached to any political party, and we maintain that independence. And we have there's no bureaucracy, there's no people on sort of six-figure salaries who are part of our organisation. What we expect from our members. So we expect that every wobbly should aspire to be an organiser, that they should be working to organise their workmates or at least support others to do so. That you pay your union dues because this makes the union work. That you adopt the principles of educating, agitating and organising wherever you are. That's the three stars of the IWW, which are on the globe. That's what they stand for. And this phrase by Big Bill Hayward, which is one of the first general secretaries of the IWW, to help the work along. That in whatever capacity you can contribute and help the organisation, however minor, we expect most members to do that. So, just going to talk very briefly about the action and a tactic that we use, and then we'll move on to the video. So, we've talked about the ideas, we've talked about the principles. How do we do this in action? One of the tactics we use is called a march on the boss. So, for us, direct action is not only a means of defending workers' interests, it's actually the most effective means in our view. It puts power directly in the hands of union members and helps build those relationships of solidarity that I've already talked about. The particular tactic that I'm going to talk about is called a march on the boss. A march on the boss is basically a staged confrontation with your employer in order to pressurise them emotionally, socially and collectively to win a particular demand. It is often accompanied by threats of strike action, go slows, other tactics that you use in the workplace. This particular tactic is what will be presented during our organising training session. So what we do is we actually use role plays with that in our organiser training to simulate that confrontation with management and discuss the various ways that managers often respond to this tactic. I should put a kind of disclaimer on this that tactics don't win campaigns alone, and they need to build from strong committee, strong organising work. So I would not encourage you to do this without that kind of groundwork first. But it's an interesting tactic to look at. So how does it work? Oh, sorry. Why do we do it first? if we do this, it demonstrates that we have power, that there are more, in a very simple way, there are more workers than there are a manager. So it's a very visual show of the strength that we have in the workplace. Put social and emotional pressure on the boss. You're flipping that relationship that exists in the workplace. The boss actually puts social and emotional pressure on you all the time to work faster, to work more efficiently, to do things that you don't want to do. We are flipping that relationship. You don't need a union contract to do this, or even to say that you're a union. You can go and pressurise your boss as a group of workmates, as just people who want to change things. You don't need legal expertise and you don't need to rely on a specialist. It's effective, it can be repeated, and it can be escalated, and it magnifies our power amongst our workmates. If you do this successfully, people start to see that when you stand together, you can win things. So this is an example of how we've used this in action. This is a photograph of a wine bar in Buxton where we had a dispute. The issue in this case was zero-hour contracts and the fact that people employed there had no holiday pay. So our organiser in this wine bar organised a march on the boss, not as the IWW, just as a group of workmates, went to the boss after work, pressurised him to make these changes. Now, in this particular case, the boss did what bosses often do, which is completely flip out and go crazy, dropped that particular organiser, effectively fired him, because he's on a zero-hour contract, so we just said, for the foreseeable future, I'm not going to give you any hours. Our response was to say, okay, you've escalated your response to our organiser, so we're going to escalate our response to you. So we organised a series of public pickets outside his wine bar, basically saying to people, don't go in the wine bar, this is how he treats his workers, until he changes this situation, we're going to continue putting public pressure on you. We had local media outlets, we actually had quite a few good conversations with other people, community leaders in the village. As a result of this, and legal pressure as well, he conceded, we got a financial settlement for that worker, and he paid out holiday pay as well. So, in that situation, we didn't have to go through the routes of winning legal recognition, we didn't have to ballot, we didn't have to go through legal expertise. We simply said, well, actually, if we just get the workers together and we pressurise, and then we show that there's a wider community that's also going to pressurise him, we can win something. I've got a selection here of other stuff we've done. So this is from the Buxton picket. This is an example. These are our dual carders. So I talked about me being an NUT member. This is a TUC rally. So these are IWW members who are kind of members of other trade unions who are on strike that day. So their role in that particular instance is pushing for militancy, pushing for more cooperation with other trade unions. This is our organiser training going on, I think, here, or possibly our representative training. So we have, in our office, we regularly run training for our members. It's important to us that those are accessible for everyone, and we actually have a mentorship scheme for new members, so people are encouraged and supported to be as active as they can be. This is the kind of social side of the branch. So this is our football team that was involved in a five-a-side tournament. So we also recognise that, you know, it's not all about just organising and doing all that hard work, but actually, you know, there's a social side to it, and you know, you need to have a bit of a community. I'm quite ashamed of my rather skinny legs in that picture. This is the Greedy Greek. I'm not going to talk to you about that because that is covered in the video, but that was another really high profile dispute that we had in Sheffield. So that's 20 minutes, which is absolutely perfect.